Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time once again for our latest Patellacast. What's a Patellacast? Well, you're going to find out. It's where science, soul, and the space in between all sort of merge and come together. On a more practical note, it's modern medicine viewed through the eyes of a young doctor who practices a lot of alternatives as well. Welcome, if you will, Dr. Neil Patel. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me again.
You really are part of a new generation of doctors. Hallelujah. Too often doctors were just, I don't know, they learned something and that's all they did. There was no change. So we were going to do the same thing, the same procedure, the same pill, the same thing over and over again. It was an assembly line. And I get that they were well-trained in techniques and things, but the world has changed. And what it didn't address were the in-between spaces. You want to replace my heart valve? Great. And that alone needs new science and stuff. You got to keep up with that. But what do you do about my constant back pain? Or I can't sleep? Or my irritability? Or all these other things? We've just become a pill society. And we've seen the downside of that, the opioid crisis and everything. Take a pill and it'll all go away. And there was an appeal to that, but didn't solve the underlying problem. And it certainly didn't lead to a healthier society. You come along, guys like you, real trained doctor, real deal in medicine, but you're willing to go beyond it and look into what might seem like alternatives, might seem like, I don't know, does it belong in medicine? And we're going to talk about one of those today. Cannabis. Does it really belong in medicine? Oh, my God. Dr. Patel, tell me. What do you feel about cannabis?
Uh-oh, we're talking about cannabis. We're going to get in trouble here. The hippie's going to come out. Uh-oh, we're going to have a hippie movement.
No, I'm an old hippie. Yeah, right,
no, there is great research, a lot of evidence around cannabis, and this is not like a new thing. This has been thousands of years of documentation across different societies in different places in the world. To make it very clear, I'm a proponent of cannabis. I do believe in its health and medical value if done properly and with proper education.
And let's break that down. So what is cannabis? What could cannabis be used? I hear all the time it's great, particularly not the THC that makes you high, but the CBD and stuff. They sell it in CVS now for anti-inflammatory properties.
Yeah, so cannabis is basically, cannabis comes from the cannabis sativa plant. So it's simply a plant that's natural, and it's somehow
it's a weed.
I don't think it's a weed, but we call it weed.
Hey, man.
Interestingly, our body actually has an endocannabinoid system, ECS, already built in.
And that's only something that science discovered in recent. They couldn't understand why our bodies took to cannabis so much, why people were not just so fond of it, made you high or something, but there was something about it that our bodies connected. It's this, what do they call it?
Yeah, it's the endocannabinoid. So we actually create what we call our own endocannabinoids, called anandamide and AEA. But the reality is, somewhere down the line in history, somebody maybe lit up a plant, or maybe they threw it in the shrub. They got these effects.
Caught fire.
They got these effects, and they've come now to realize that the molecules and the cannabinoids, or what they call phyto, or plant cannabinoids found in cannabis.
Phyto.
Correct. Right. Those found in cannabis somehow plug right into our system. So it's like a beautiful synchronicity amongst our human system and the plant.
Now I can hear my older audience groaning already here. And say, come on. This pot is just fun and recreation here. But I know here at the campus, we did a show for years with Dr. Trent. You know very well.
Absolutely.
Dr. Trent's older doctor, geriatric practice. Now he is on the board of Alzheimer's, serious researcher. And he would bring in people like the one I'm going to talk about. I don't remember the name. But here at UCI, the University of California, Irvine, there is a whole cannabis research program. And they talked about this cannabinoids. In there are different compounds within cannabis. They've only identified a couple. The THC is the part that gets you high. But the CBD and CVG and all these other things, all, and what they found is that they, just what you're saying, they plug into a system. You didn't learn about the system when you're in medical school. They didn't recognize that we have neuroreceptors for these types of plants these types of chemicals.
Yeah, exactly. It's not taught about just because it's hard to say who is really creating the curriculum in medical school. That's maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we'll pass on that
wow,
for right
we're
now.
We're going to skip on that one.
Yeah, we'll
is
skip
it the
on.
Drug companies or is it the.
Yeah, who said that? No, okay, so, but basically, you learn pharmacology, which is all pill related, but you can learn a lot of pharmacology from cannabis. And to go back to the point, UCI has one of the like really nice research, Dr. Daniel Piomelli. And that was my biggest regret was I actually applied when I was an undergraduate here to be part of his lab. I got deferred acceptance for the next year, and I had started another research. But if I could go back in time, that would be one of the biggest things I would have done.
Serious research at serious universities.
Yes.
This isn't the only one. For a long time now on the really powerful health benefits within that plant. Now, the problem was the plant made people high. So it was banned. It was what was the thing? Madness.
Yeah, reefer madness. Yeah.
And all this stuff here. And yet the plant, particularly even the hemp-based, which is without the CB, THC in it here, was used to make rope and clothing, food and everything. Back to Thomas Jefferson grew it and Washington grew it. It was long established in modern in Western cultures, not just as a recreational product, but as a potential medicinal product. But all that went out the window in the 60s when I grew up, and it was demonized, which only made us that more appealing to all the kids in college here.
Yeah, the history is pretty complicated. There's a lot of back and forth, a lot of villainization of cannabis.
To the fact it's still listed as a Schedule I drug.
Yes.
It's the same thing as heroin.
It is. It's a Schedule I, cocaine, I think methamphetamine, heroin, cannabis all fall under that category, which means a Schedule I drug is a DEA classification, meaning there is zero medical value for ingesting those substances, which includes cannabis.
Which is why, as states have permitted it, we have this complicated, does federal law rule or does state law rule? The states have allowed first medical marijuana and now full recreational cannabis, like in California and Colorado and other places in numerous states around the country. But it's still difficult to operate a cannabis store because you can't use credit cards because that's a federal banking system and they're afraid they'll lose their licenses because certain more conservative regimes continually threaten. I don't care what the states are doing. We believe in states' rights, except when it's down to medical marijuana, then the states have no right, and we're going to ban it, and we're going to come down. And so that continues to this day. I believe the current administration is still waffling about how they feel about cannabis.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of big question marks. Real quickly, there was a hemp ban that was recently passed and it talks about the cannabis industry is even in more trouble. Basically, let me just read this real quickly. Yeah. The federal hemp ban is basically Washington closing the THC loophole, which is the 2018 Farm Bill that allowed companies to sell intoxicating hemp products outside the regular marijuana system. So long story short, they're tightening that up.
And who passed those? Is it a bunch of hippie Democrats or something? That was a Republican bill.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell, I believe, was for a long time powerful Speaker of the House. He is from Kentucky, and the farmers down there have been arguing for generations, bring back hemp. You don't want to bring back marijuana, bring back hemp. We use it for rope, we use it for clothing, we use it for food, all sorts of things there.
Yeah, exactly. So that 2018 bill was passed under a different administration, but the hemp ban that I'm talking about was literally just passed in November.
1 minute they let it in, now they're going to take it back.
Yeah, again. It's been, 7 years since the pass? So now, as of 2026, they've basically said all the major players, everybody who's in the industry has until, I think, end of 2026 to figure out what to do. And it's tough because this is a multi-billion dollar industry.
And hemp got thrown, and that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Hemp itself, you were talking about THC. I thought hemp has no THC in it. Hemp is a version of the plant that doesn't get you high. People that have smoked hemp, I guess, or something, but it's not necessarily more like cigarettes. It's clove cigarettes or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the definitions, the wording can be convoluted, but hemp is technically the non-high part, technically, that can be utilized for things outside of just pain and all those type of situations.
Right, clothing,
exactly.
Animal feed, rope for generations.
Food, too. Hemp seeds are actually very high in protein and fiber.
Yeah. Right. All that stuff.
Exactly.
So you're saying all that's going to go back again under the dark ages, under the carpet here again?
What they're trying to do is, like you mentioned, you go to a gas station, I can get CBD, but it might have some other synthetic things. It might have other THC. So they're trying to regulate all those small, I guess, industry, but it affects everybody because everybody's on the hook. They've tightened up the percentage of THC allowed within the product.
Because there's always a little.
Exactly, because hemp, that's the whole point. Sometimes a hemp, you might have some trace amount, but that trace amount might be illegal enough for them to ban your product or take it off the market.
So let's talk about how we can debate the why.
Sure.
And the fear and the continuing back and forth debate, which is not, this is what shocked me years ago when cannabis was passed here. I'll just go one more rabbit hole. The people who came in and argued it were some of the biggest Republicans in the county here who saw the business potential of it, recognized that particularly the hemp had been miscategorized and that there were real health benefits to them. Let's talk about some of those other. How do you use it in your practice? When would you prescribe, recommend, whatever you want to call it.
Somebody. Yeah, absolutely. So I cannot technically prescribe it. I can recommend it. Right. So I always gently recommend it. So of course, when my patients come in, I want to educate them. But the few things that seem that it's helped my patients, anxiety, insomnia, which is like sleep issues, pain.
Pain, I hear.
Those are top. Hunger, sure, some people, but those three are the top buckets, anxiety, insomnia, and pain. And we, especially with pain, like pain is an incredible equalizer. And when you're in pain, you will try anything.
We do a show here about pancreatic cancer, mm-hmm. the 20-year survivor, and she's talked about it. Numerous people come in and say, rather than drown myself in pain pill, mm-hmm. which dope me up and really dope me up, why not use other means if I can so I'm not addicted to it, I'm not as drugged out. There was I believe it finally passed, I think it was called Ryan's Law. And it was a very conservative Republican legislator whose son got some kind of deadly cancer. I think it was pancreatic something at a young age. And was in a hospice dying. Mm. And so he had young children, the family and friends. And he was so completely zonked out on opioids, heavy dose opioids. And what's the heaviest opioid?
It's like a Vicodin. You got dilaudid, morphine, oxycodone, all those.
All this kind of stuff. Yeah. Super, super, just drugged out. Didn't know who he was, where he was. Very half in, half out. And so he requested to switch to medical marijuana, which is marijuana, to alleviate, maybe it wouldn't eliminate 100% of the pain, but much of the pain, so that he could communicate and talk to his children before he dies. Talk about a heart-rendering story. His father, the facility, because it was federally mandated, said, we won't allow it. You can't bring it in here even. We're fearful that we'll lose our license under the current administrations. And his father fought, went all the way through the California legislature, and Gavin Newsom, of all people, vetoed it, apparently under pressure from hospitals and other groups and stuff. Had to go through the whole process again. It finally passed, I think, a couple of years ago, where you could... They can't give it to you, but you could bring it
exactly.
in.
Exactly, yes.
Use your own cannabis.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I recommend it, I guide them, and I educate my patients, because I tell them the same thing. Because a lot of my patients, they might be a little averse to cannabis. Oh, it's just weed, and it's going to get me high. But then I tell them, I say, we've talked before, what do you have to lose? Do you really want pain pills? Do you really want all these other meds where you know the side effects? Like, you know what's going to happen. You don't have much to lose, because if the cannabis doesn't work, you always have those other medications to fall back on. And the good chance the cannabis will probably be way more gentler on
the
body.
What's the one that we're so afraid of now? Fentanyl.
Oh, yeah. Fentanyl is like really bad. Right. Yes.
Which, again, is illegal. So people say, why is fentanyl still coming to the country? Because it's legal.
Yeah, exactly.
There is a legal use for fentanyl for severe pain situations. And it's apparently a very powerful narcotic. Mm-hmm. But a little dose, a tiny dot, a sand spick can knock you out, and people are lacing it into all sorts of other things to increase.
Exactly. So with that, for my patients, like I just had a patient today, like back pain. So we had recommended cannabis about a couple weeks ago, and she came back today and she said, hey, it made me high. And it made her loopy a little bit. And that's the THC. So now
one component within cannabis.
Correct. Right. So my job now is to be like, okay, maybe I have to give her a different recommendation or formulation that does not have THC.
Because that is, we did some shows through the years on cannabis. Sorry to be giving a quick backstory, but they are trying to grow plants or process the plants to remove certain chemicals. Now, there is a debate that does it all work if you pull out one part of the plant?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Honestly, it's like you clap with two hands. I can take one hand away and you can't really clap with one hand. So you might be able to make some sound with one hand, but it's not the same. So we call it the entourage effect, where is synergy amongst the phytocannabinoids like THC, CBD, CBN. But we are learning, like you said, that there is still some value without all of it together. I personally prefer the full package, what they call a whole spectrum.
But to get through the regulatory process, they either grow, they're artificially learning to grow the plants without these things through, what do you call it? Through
like the hydroponics and genetics and all that.
Or to remove it when it's processed.
And then the issue is that it's a THC that gets a bad rap. So the idea is, if we take it out, is there still some value in the rest of the phytocannabinoids like CBD, which we've learned a lot?
And there's there are, 99 of them now? They thought there was only one or two. There's over 100.
I think it's like over 200 or 300, I want to say.
Yeah, these different compounds within the plant.
There. Yeah, so that's the thing. So because I'm pretty well versed in this, in the cannabis space, I'm pretty, like, I can tell, okay, if my patient's not doing well, let's try this. But some patients or some doctors may not know, and they'll be like, oh, it didn't work one time. Okay, don't give up. Pretty much give up.
So let me ask you the other. So we've got one question is, do you take it the full spectrum, or do you take it that's been doctored to overly increase CBD, for example, which seems to have the most anti-inflammatory part? I forgot what the other CBs do, but they keep discovering they all have different properties. Some of them no property that we can discern. Some of them have very powerful other properties with them. Epilepsy and all sorts of things they're doing with it. That's one thing. Do you take the full spectrum or not? How do you take it? That's a whole other issue here. Do you ingest it? Do you smoke it? Is it topical? What do you recommend?
Yeah, so full spectrum is ideal. Now, of course, how to take it, there are a lot of different ways to use cannabis. Yeah. But for my patients, they're older. I like to make it simple and comfortable. They feel safe and secure taking it. So I usually like gummies or edibles. Okay. Because the thing is, usually they're pretty well quality controlled, and you can dose it out. So if I tell them, here's one gummy, start with 1/4, 45 minutes before you sleep at night, and I tell them exactly which one, so we can easily quantify and either increase the dose or decrease it a lot easier versus saying, hey.
Because it looks more like a pill.
Exactly. It looks like a pill. And then smoking, I never recommend, just because a lot of people are averse to smoking. And those effects are a lot harder to quantify.
And through the years, there was a lot of evidence, just like smoking a cigarette, but ingesting any kind of smoke is probably carcinogenic and other
stuff. Right, exactly. So usually we start with edibles or tinctures, because those also have like milliliters.
That's under the tongue.
Exactly, the dropper. So whatever is easy to measure and what they're used to. People are usually a lot more open to like food, gummies and sugar and little candy sweets.
You ever try topicals? You just
absolutely. Topicals.
For pain and stuff?
CBD. My aunt, actually, I just gave her some the other day. She has some knee pain, and so I told her to take some CBD. There's like a THC CBD cream. So I said, might as well try it.
Was she running naked down the street?
She was completely clothed and feeling normal and felt like just another day.
She wasn't at Woodstock taking
Yeah, exactly. She was just doing her normal life, and she just started, but she mentioned a little bit of some relief, but the thing is, these type of things take some time for it to kick in. So people are like, hey, I took it once. How come I'm not fixed?
And people always say, start low and go slow.
Always. Everything. Any medicine, anything, actually. So that's usually the way I do it. I usually try to have a strategy, and I try to educate them. And the truth is, I have converted people. I had a patient. He's 84. He had a foot surgery, and he put him on Norco, which is an opioid, and he had a hard time sleeping too. He comes in, he's like, doc, like, I'm very anti-med, so I'm like, oh my goodness, let's get you off this Norco. Like, why are you on this? So I said, why don't you try this cannabis? And I recommended like this edible or gummy. He calls me about 2 weeks later and says, doc, my entire life I swore I would never use that vile substance. Now I'm a fan.
So, gateway drug to the
super anti, and all of a sudden I'm a fan, and he's using it. It helps him sleep deeper. He has no more pain, and he's no longer on the Norco. So I'm like, why not?
So let's talk about the flip side. I'm gonna be a play, because I've heard so much of this through the years. Yeah. We've done lots of shows on this in conversations. Yeah. You can tell. Flip side, it's not FDA regulated, the gummies and all this stuff. So you think so much cannabis or THC or I don't know whatever kind of CBD in there it advertises. But nobody's looking at it. And people come in here all the time and say, and it's from China, it's this and that. So when they really analyze it, it's half of what it should be, or it's twice what it should be. And there's other stuff, and there's arsenic and heavy metals, or not arsenic, I don't know, other sorts of things in there that are not good to be consuming. So because it's not FDA approved, you don't know that the bottle at Mother's Market really contains what it's supposed to say.
Exactly. And that's, you mentioned it, FDA approval. You know what else is not FDA approved? Nutraceuticals.
Yeah.
And if you go to Whole Foods, there is about 5 full rows of pills that you can take all together. And no one can, and the other companies are not.
Vitamin D, vitamin C, all this stuff.
You can take 50 pills together, and the companies are not liable for what happens. So the idea is, how come cannabis should be treated more as a supplement than a scheduled drug, in a sense?
So that's one thing, because it still lives in the Wild West. It is an unregulated thing.
Correct.
It is difficult to determine the dose and what you're getting. And so you got to find brands, you got to find sort of trial and error, or somebody recommend. Do you have brands and stuff that you don't have to tout them, but just think.
Yeah, I have a few that I like, but I'm networking a lot with people in cannabis in the space, in terms of doctors, nurses, a lot of people that have their own products. So there's something called a COA, or Certificate of Analysis, that tends to actually be like, hey, this product has no pesticides and no heavy metals
Dr.
or whatever.
Dr. Trin and his group were part of that and started an organization with doctors. Let's really evaluate. If people are going to use it, let's make sure it is what it says it is.
The Physician Cannabinoid Council, right? Then I'm on that as well. I've been on that. And so there are different ways to like quality test a product. But reality is, more than quality test, people just need to know that this is an option and it's a viable option for certain ailments they might have.
Now, here's the other one I hear about. Just heard this in the news this week. We talked about it briefly beforehand. Mm-hmm. Cannabis has grown today. So it's not just how it's processed and bottled and put into a gummy or put into a tincture, or put into a lotion or whatever it else is. All that question, what else is in there and is it what it says it is. But you've got this other thing about when they're growing it. And the strains today that I read somewhere in the news not long ago, we're doing this in December of 2025, several articles I just flashed across my screen that the strains are much stronger than they've ever been.
This is a unfortunate part where cannabis may get that bad rep, because see, what's happening is everybody just wants to get high.
Right.
And the high comes from a high percentage of THC.
One tiny component within this plant.
Exactly. Then that's the problem. Because we're so focused on trying to extract that one component, we are basically creating an imbalance in our own system. Because if you had a high level of THC, the cannabis flower that you may smoke should have some CBD in it. You can balance out the different phytocannabinoids. All these companies know, these kids, everybody just wants to smoke and just be completely in space.
Right, yeah.
And that's where you get these studies where, like, psychosis, people are having these mental health. That's not, I wouldn't say it's cannabis. You're overdoing it, too strong, and it's just your body is imbalanced.
So the strains, so I don't know who's growing it, how they're growing it, and they're artificially using genetic and DNA, whatever you call it, manipulation and stuff here, to make the, or just crossbreeding like you do with any plant, to get more of this and less of that. And so they're creating super strong strains of marijuana, which then gets everybody upset, has bad reactions. You don't die from, I don't think anybody dies from overdoing cannabis, but they're too zonked out or too whatever. It's an uncomfortable experience for them here.
Yeah. So,
and that, so they're turning up. There it is. I do it. See, cannabis is bad. Boom, boom.
And they have it once and they think, whoa, I got so high and I feel like all weird. I'm done. I give up. I'm going to quit. I'm going to just not take it. I'd rather just take these pills because I know it's FDA regulated, even though now I have constipation. I have all these issues, but that's okay.
Because irritability, constipation, can't sleep, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
And then, and what I was stunned with, my mother, late mother, was a pill person. She was zonked out at the end. She had Parkinson's. Mm. She had dementia. She had several other conditions. And through the years, every doctor she went gave her a pill. So by the end, she had a long list of pills she's taking. Yeah. And I asked once to the pharmacist, does anybody ever test it to see what happens when you do this? He says, no, there's millions of pills in the market. We don't just endlessly mix them up and see what happens. But something happens. And sometimes it's very bad what happens.
Oh, yeah. Your body is its own natural drug factory, number one. We have incredible ability to produce incredible drugs within ourselves naturally. Right. But then you start adding pills, interactions, and like we mentioned, I am a geriatric doctor. I lecture with Alzheimer's Orange County, so I'm very big on the Alzheimer's part. And I'm open to it. I tell patients, or I have patients sometimes in these like memory care facilities, if their families are on board, if they're comfortable, I say, maybe you give them cannabis because it can help redirect the patient, help them eat better. It might make them less irritable, help them sleep.
Get you off this regimen of drugs, which is expensive,
exactly,
which is addictive, which has numerous side effects of its own, and particularly when you mix and match these pills together, who knows what you're getting anymore.
And does it even work? And what are we really doing by just, because the thing is, when you have Alzheimer's, they can't even communicate. So are we just being like, oh, we just give him a pill and he seems quieter, so it must be working. But what, is it really working? And same theory. If the cannabis doesn't work, there are pills to fall back on, but cannabis is way gentler on the person.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. So you gave us some outlines of this. What's the pushback? Do your patients ask for it? Do they, are they curious about it, or they look at you like you're just some hippie doctor?
I'd be a quack doctor if I say, hey, just smoke weed and don't see me and good luck. But right. No. So the pushback is, of course, the education. And I tell my patients, look, I'm not a quack doctor. I'm officially fully board certified. A couple of weeks ago, I just got recognized by the California State Senate for Cannabis Medicinal Expert 2 years in a row.
Wow.
So this is,
congrats.
Thank you. So I don't take this as like a hobby. And right. So I tell patients, like, this is real. The pushback is, how does it work? What if it doesn't work? And I say, you have to give it time. So really the pushback is the lack of understanding of it. We're just not exposed to it.
What it does, how it works, what the reality
exactly
of it is here. I hope you'll talk more about it and
absolutely
talk about some use cases of it, because I read more and more people are using it. What stunned me is, even when you take the THC, you get CBD.
Yeah.
That's what's left. And you can get that at over-the-counter at CVS. Right. And we had several years ago when this started changing, I went home, somebody came in talking about how they used it for pain relief, anti-inflammatory properties of CBD, which is well documented mm-hmm. now. And I said to my wife, what do you think of this? She's like this conservative person, and she's, I got some up in the cabinet. You got pot up in the cabinet here? You're not pot, but I've got CBD.
Yeah.
It's from this plant.
You'd be surprised. I've had patients pull it out of their purse and their pockets, like, hey, I'm already taking this. I have had patients, hey, doc, I just want to let you know that I've already been taking cannabis. So I'm like, okay. As actually, I had a patient, for example, who was taking Benadryl to sleep. She calls me, she said, yeah, I started taking a half a gummy and I sleep way better. And I'm like, thank goodness.
Benadryl's not to sleep. Benadryl's an antihistamine and stuff here.
And Benadryl is not good for the aging population as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of side effects with that. So I was like, all for it. When she told me, and she was actually nervous to tell me. So the whole point was, I need to create that comfort, because I think a lot of patients may want to ask for it with their own doctors, but they may feel like they're being judged or scared to bring it up with their doctor, which should never be the case.
And what do you think of the medical community? I know this is a broad question,
sure,
but is it probably age related? Older doctors, younger doctors, but are they open to this conversation? Do they know anything about it? Some clearly do. You and some other emerging doctors, part of this whole world of alternatives. Try Indian Ayurvedic, try nutraceuticals,
right,
try herbs, try teas, try yoga, try something here. And then there are many doctors that are my age who are like, don't want to know about it, ain't going to learn at this point in time.
It's funny, because the doctors who are older, they might be struggling with pain too.
Yeah.
So maybe they should try it, honestly. They might be in the same boat as their patients. So I think the medical community they're moving in the right direction. I see hope within the medical community, but there's obviously a lot of other powers in play, per se. And I think...
Pill-obsessed society.
And
I find, it's not just because I'm an old hippie myself, but I find everybody I know at my age, aging baby boomers, the last thing we want to do is take a pill.
Exactly.
Because we saw our parents take too many pills and get too zonked out. I don't trust all the pills. I'll take it if I have to, but that's my last choice. I'll do everything but the pill.
Yeah, exactly. So that, I think what it is, mainly, my goal is to educate not the patients, educate the doctors and medical students, because that's where it should start. But the reality is, I don't really care if a doctor does cannabis themselves, uses it, believes in it, doesn't believe in it, doesn't like it. It is our responsibility as a healthcare provider to know the science and know, because patients are coming already to my office with it. So if they show up to another doctor and they have no clue what's going on, like, we're basically doing a disservice to our patients. It is our responsibility to be on top of what's going on, especially
to be educators.
With patients. Absolutely, because we need to know. Like, I ask my patients, I need to know, I ask them what they read. Who cares what I read? I want to know what you're reading.
What they read?
Yeah, what Google? Do you use Google? Do you use AI? Right. Where do you get your information? Because who cares what I get it from? Where are you getting it from?
Yeah.
So that's very important.
And unfortunately, we're all our own doctors these days here, because we don't trust you guys enough here. We don't
Absolutely.
Trust the medical community. So we're, I don't know, she said, my doctor said do this. I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
My buddy says try this. Google says, Dr. Google says this.
Yeah. 100%. I have a competition now with Dr. Google and Dr. AI, but I say, you know what? I embrace it. I tell them, I give my patients homework. I say, look this up. I challenge, I tell patients, Google responsibly. Okay. So I tell them, make sure I give them their homework if they want. I like to be challenged. So I say, quiz me, ask me questions, but
You're
do your homework.
A refreshing breath of fresh air here in a world where the doctor either groans and says, did you go to medical school? I'm not going to debate this with you. Here's what I say you do.
Right.
Do it or don't. Or it's, yes, I listen to my doctor for about 2 seconds, yeah, and then I just go off and do my own thing here.
Absolutely. So I tell them at the end of the day, I make it very clear. I say, look, I'm here to help you. I want to give you as many tools, including cannabis. At the end of the day, it's your life and your health. I am not responsible. All I can do is meet you where you need me to meet you at and help you in the best way. Ultimately, it's your decision. I just want to at least equip you with the right information.
And the problem with pills, too, I'm sorry, we're way over. The problem with pills is that it just numbs you. It doesn't get rid of the underlying condition or the cause. At least cannabis, at least what I've read, it will get rid of the inflammation and reduce the inflammation, which is, as you're talking about Parkinson's and other things,
yeah,
a lot of these are inflammation-related diseases here.
Yeah, are we just pumping air into a flat tire here for the last 70 years in pharmaceutical and medicine? Is that what we're doing? And this is
great
crazy.
Way to put it.
This is crazy. Like, this can't be it. So there's got to be a lot of hope.
All right. The hope is everybody's going to tune in and hear a PatellaCast, because we got more of them coming here.
Right.
Lots of interesting topics. Any other teases you want to give? Other topics?
Yeah. Look, let's be honest. Let's get right into the hippie side.
Go.
Psilocybin is a very hot topic
right now. That one, I got to hear that one.
Absolutely.
That one, really. Magic mushrooms are...
We will be talking about that. I'm a very big proponent of that, too. And I know the science behind it.
A lot of research
we've done. Absolutely.
It's a serious tool, particularly for psychosis. And
yes.
Yeah. Like
we can talk about that for hours, too. So we will be talking about that in our few talks.
Stay tuned, folks. You never know what you're going to hear on the PatellaCast, as well as some your regular doctor, your regular things and geriatric issues and health and lifestyle and alternatives all fit together into what we're calling a PatellaCast here. Tune in. Tell your friends about it right here on Orange County's only community conversation, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Field Applied Innovation Center.